Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Hello, how are you? I'm actually not on this planet today, I'll be completely honest with you. So if I say anything stupid...
Yeah, I need to ask you how you are.
I went out 3 nights in a row. Each of those occasions were particularly boozy.
Oh.
And so today I feel pretty rubbish.
Now, was this to celebrate the wedding of Paris Hilton, which also took place on Thursday, Friday,
yes.
Saturday?
Yes, exactly. For I was celebrating her weddings, her many weddings. If only, no. No,
it did was you have a
just
good time?
General. I had a great time, but I don't know. Do you get this? You get like the fear on a month. Like if you've been out drinking, you get that like horrible anxiety. What have I said? What have I done? But you know, you haven't really said or done anything, but you just have this weird, I don't know, unsettled feeling.
And it's called regret.
I'm never going to drink again. Like this just doesn't suit me. This isn't good. And then come next weekend, I'll have forgotten it all. A bit like, you know, childbirth, the same, isn't it?
It's exactly the same, just less messy. Although in your case, we don't know what you get up to on a Saturday night out. Yeah, do you know what I get like the Monday fear if I've had a big weekend and I sort of start going through my head like, right, that's it, I'm not going to drink again. And then I start, like Dozer always goes, don't overpromise and underdeliver. It's what he says to me all. I'm like, right, that's it, I'm never drinking again. And he goes, don't overpromise and underdeliver. And he's like, you're just feeling the fear like 2 or 3 days later. But actually, we had quite a wholesome weekend this weekend. And actually, I wasn't particularly well on Saturday night. I had like really bad menopause symptoms that they were like raging and like terrible headaches and night sweats and just felt really, really rotten on Sunday. So I actually didn't go to work for the first time in, I can't remember how long.
No.
Yeah, I just couldn't face it. And I was really teary, really emotional. It was just quite a lot. It was quite a lot on Sunday morning, but I had a really wholesome day with the kids and lots of like kind of country walks and fresh air and stuff. And I feel a lot better today. Can we just talk about your dress?
Thank you.
Where'd you get it from?
It's from Needle and Thread. It was an investment. I am going to put it on these higher sites. So if anyone liked it, then I'll send you the link and you can hire it.
Yeah.
But I felt so comfortable in it. Like it was just a really easy dress to wear. You know, sometimes if you've got a big, you know, a wedding to go to and you have a dress that you've got to hoik up or the straps are falling off or, you know, anything like that. This just felt so nice. I felt so comfortable and I just loved it.
Well done.
I was pleased I made the investment.
And also getting your makeup done at the Charlotte Tilbury counter in town. You really went full foot. James gave you a little spin around and was like proud of you and then gave you a little scene too when you got home. In fact, don't answer that. Don't answer. That's too much information.
A scene too. Why do you have to use what language like that?
Oh, God. That makes me cringe as well. Sorry. I'm like a 58-year-old man called Bob, aren't
you
I?
Are.
Sorry.
Yes. Good scene. Oh, I gave her a
good scene too.
Oh, yuck. We had a really fun weekend. It was needed, but next weekend I'm going to have a wholesome one.
Wholesome.
No more drinking.
I'm just excited because it's my birthday this week.
Yay!
Yay! 39.
In fact, when this episode goes out, it will be your birthday. So yes. Anyone listening, sends her a happy birthday message.
Well,
and
are you
do you know what? You're one of the people who shares all the birthday messages, aren't you, on Instagram?
Oh, is it really annoying when people do that? I look back at other ones. I go, yes, okay, we know it's your birthday. But then when it comes to my day, I just want everyone to know about it. Yeah, maybe. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't.
I remember you being like, you didn't do a birthday post for me. And I'm like, no, Zoe, I can't do it. I'm not one of those people.
I was really obviously hurt and cried on the phone for ages. Yeah.
Yeah. I've tried it. It's not me.
Okay, fine.
So I won't be doing that for you, but I'll be talking to you. I'll phone you and wish you a happy birthday.
If anybody listening wants to do me a birthday post, that would be lovely. Okay. Now we've got Katie working for us. Maybe I'll get one.
Maybe you will.
But I am having a nice day because on my actual birthday, which is the 16th, I'm going over to Guildford to see my friend Jane. We're going for a birthday run, which you know is like my favourite thing to do. Then we are going to go and have a brunch. And then after school, we're going to have like fun times with our, like we've got a couple of neighbours that live close by with the kids and have like a proper feast, go out for some food.
Aww,
and then
that
on
sounds lovely.
The 17th, I've got like I've got a surprise dinner because he let it slip the other day. And I think we're going to Sexy Fish.
Oh my God, that's my favourite. Oh, you have to have the donuts. You've got to have the donuts for dessert.
Okay.
They are absolutely delicious. Proper delicious. I mean, it's all delicious, obviously. You don't go there for donuts, but, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was Pan-Asian or like the donuts.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be a great week. Well, listen, we need to stop gassing and we need to start getting into the podcast because this conversation, to be completely honest with you, one of my all-time favourites because I felt like the woman that we were chatting to was so passionate about the subject, and it was like lifting a lid on a subject that I really didn't know that much about. I still can't believe that corporations are doing this or have done this and continue to do this to women who are pregnant and then go maybe back after they've had the babies, all the discrimination that goes on within corporations. I was shocked. I had my jaw to the ground. Did you?
I know. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen it firsthand, you know, I've experienced it. And I think until you do, and until you have a conversation, like the guest actually says, sometimes you don't even realize it's happening to you because it's that subtle. And then when you put it all out, you think, oh yeah, you know, that is why. And especially like corporations who love to talk about how flexible they are and how they support parents, but actually they don't. They're just putting on a big front. And actually, as our guest said, there isn't, you know, a direct way that we're going to fix this because so many of us are not allowed to talk about it. And until we do and we can actually talk about these corporations and who they are, how's anyone going to know to avoid them? It was such an interesting chat.
Yeah, and me. And she's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So let's get into it. If you have ever experienced anything like this or you're going through it or you think this is not going to happen to me and then it does, this conversation is for you. Who are we chatting to today, George?
Today we are chatting to the wonderful Jolie Brearley from Pregnant Then Screwed. Just a quick note before we get into the chat, we're not trying to provide legal advice in this episode and there's some fantastic guidance available, which we'll link to in the show notes.
Now, those of us listening to the podcast today, if you have had a baby and you've been in employment, you will know that amazing feeling when you see that little line or those little lines on the pregnancy test and you think, yes, I'm pregnant. And then you think, shit, what's going to happen at work? How am I going to tell my employers? How are they going to react? How are they going to feel? What are they going to say? And it's a weird fear that we have. I've had it. George has had it. And then you meet somebody amazing and wonderful, like the person that we're chatting to on the podcast today, who knows all about that, who knows all about the system, who knows the intricacies of it, and is basically on hand, a bit like Batman, without a cape. Not all superheroes wear cape. You will definitely be following her on Instagram, Pregnant Then Screwed. Today we are chatting to Jolie Brearley.
Yes!
She looked slightly confused throughout that whole intro, like I was saying that she had a chicken on her head. But basically, we love you. We think what you're doing is amazing.
What a compliment. That was a lovely introduction. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
And could just for those who don't know your story, and I guess why you set up Pregnant Then Screwed, would you just want to give us like a bit of background?
It all started back in 2013 when I looked a lot less tired and was a lot less saggy, and I was working for a children's charity in the northeast, and I discovered I was pregnant. Wasn't planned, but we won't go into too much detail about that. I informed my employer that I was pregnant by email, said, look, I know it's going to cause some complications with the project that I'm working on, but don't worry, I've got a plan. Let's have a conversation the next day to talk it through. And the next day, they called my phone. I couldn't answer because I was brushing my teeth, and then listened to the voicemail afterwards. And they said, hi, Jolie, I'm sorry to say that we're going to have to pull your contract. So could you please hand everything over immediately? Give me a call back to confirm that you've received this message. So they sent me by voicemail, a children's charity. And it was very clearly because I was pregnant. I mean, everything had been going fine. I told them I was pregnant. And then the next day, they just got rid of me. So I found myself 4 months pregnant, unemployed, had rent to pay, you know, food to put on the table, was going to be going on maternity leave in 5 months, and had no income. And I went to a routine doctor's appointment about a week later, and they did a scan on me, and they said, oh, we've just realized you've got a bit of a problem. Your cervix has almost vanished, and you could go into labor at any point. And if you go into labor now, the baby will die.
Right.
So they rushed me into surgery and did this really delightful process where they tried to bolt my cervix together to keep the baby in place. Yeah. And then when I was in the recovery room, the doctor came over and said, look, there's only about a 25% chance that that will work. So whatever you do, don't get stressed, because it's stress that will bring on early onset labor. And, you know, obviously you've got to be really, really careful right now, because even if it's, you know, 6 months or whatever, the baby could have some serious, you know, health issues as a result. Now, taking an employer to tribunal is probably the most stressful thing you can do. And you only have 3 months to raise a tribunal claim from the point the discrimination occurs. So I couldn't wait until Theo was born. I mean, he's very healthy, 8-year-old. He's fine.
Oh, yay.
And then pick the case up afterwards. So I was literally left with the choice between accessing the justice I deserved or protecting the health of my unborn child. And nobody wants to make that decision. That's not a decision that, I mean, it's not even a choice, is it? You have to drop the case. So I did. And I found myself lying on a sofa watching daytime TV, and out of nowhere, I'd just lost everything. Within the space of a week, I'd lost my job, I'd lost my income, I was reliant on my partner to pay my rent. I was potentially going to lose the baby that I had. So I was just lying on a sofa, rubbing my belly, begging this baby to stay put, thinking, I am suddenly useless. The only thing I'm good for is a vessel for this growing fetus, and I'm not even doing that very well. And that process just radicalized me. It completely changed the way I viewed the world and made me into an ardent feminist. And once he was born and I started talking to other women about their experiences at work, I discovered that actually it was really common. This stuff is happening all the time, and why didn't I know about it? And so I set up a blog for people to tell their stories, and that's where it all started.
Amazing.
Wow. I mean, I feel already blown away by what you've just told us, and we've only been chatting for 5 minutes. That's incredible. That is incredible. And also the fact that you... when you came out the other side of it and you started to talk about it and discuss it, you started to talk to other women, and suddenly you're in a club, aren't you? Because it's quite scary to admit that that has happened to you. And
and
it is very brave to go up against the system.
Well, yeah, this is it. I mean, the majority of women that I spoke to they sort of accepted it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because their situation wasn't as extreme as mine was. I think the fact that mine was so extreme made it very clear that it was discrimination, made me particularly furious. The majority of women that I spoke to had demotions, or they'd been sidelined, or they'd faced bullying. And so it was much more, it was gaslighting, you know, it was much more subtle, this drip, drip feed of discrimination that they'd experienced. Whereas mine was, one minute I was employed and everything was going brilliantly. The next minute I was thrown out of the door because I'd said I was pregnant. And yeah, so women tend to just sort of accept it. We don't want to be troublemakers.
Yeah. And I think that's really interesting what you say about almost the people you speak to. It's done in a lot more of a subtle way. And I think sometimes people don't even realize that it's happened to them until, like you say, they start talking about it and they're like, oh, actually, yeah, like my job role did change after I had a child and I don't have as much responsibility now. But they kind of packaged it up to look like they were doing me a favor, maybe. And I think that's, I guess, that must happen a lot. So you started the blog for people to share their stories. And then when did it move on to more of a service that people can use? Tell us a little bit about that.
It was never in the plan. I'd never planned to end up where we are now. I'd love to say that I had this really strategic future plan of how I was going to get to where I am, but I really didn't. So I set up this blog and it took ages for me to get anybody to put their story on there because they were terrified, the women who'd experienced discrimination either had signed a non-disclosure agreement. The majority of women who take legal action sign an agreement that gags them so they cannot speak publicly. And if they're caught speaking publicly, they may have to repay the money that they've been given plus extra. Or they don't want to be identified because we all work in very small sectors where everybody knows each other. And if you're the one that's causing trouble, people are just not going to employ you. And so you're not going to get another job. It took about 3 or 4 months for me to convince 10 women to put their stories on the website. And then I was invited onto the Victoria Derbyshire show to talk about it.
Oh, we love her.
Oh, we love it. Yeah. She is was the queen of daytime TV. Sadly, yeah. Cancelled, which I was devastated about. But as soon as I went on that, then the stories just started flooding in. And then the next stage was women were saying, can you help me? I'm in the middle of this and I don't know what to do. I don't know if this is discrimination. I don't know who to talk to. And so I met an employment lawyer called Danielle Ayres, who I was living in Manchester at the time, and we went for a cup of tea and a slice of cake and we chatted about just the law, employment law. And I said, I don't suppose you'd help me set up a legal advice service or maybe talk to some of these women who are contacting me. And she said, yeah, sure. And so initially she was just doing them in the bath, you know, in the night. She'd call a couple of women and talk through what was happening to them. And then, of course, it's just grown and grown and grown. And last year we supported 5,300 women through the free legal advice service. So she's obviously not doing it in the bath anymore. We've got a proper system set up to handle.
She's just taking calls while she's just putting the bubbles in. 1 second. Hold on.
5,300 calls just in the evening. I mean, it's incredible.
Sorry, I was just gonna ask you examples of what sort of discrimination are women going through. So can you give us kind of, you know, what do you hear a lot of that either the language or what happens to them in their job role or, yeah, just kind of give us an oversight of what that looks like.
The majority of women face bullying and harassment. That's the usual thing. That's how it starts. So
they're pregnant.
Yeah, say they're pregnant. And their personal development reviews will go from excellent to substandard in the blink of an eye. And nothing will have changed. Their performance hasn't changed, but the perception of their performance has changed. And then people start making snide comments, start pushing you out of meetings, taking clients off you. They'll stop giving you training. So it's very subtle. Oh. Redundancy is very common because it's very hard to prove. And the law around redundancy is very flimsy for pregnant women and for women returning from maternity leave. So suddenly you're up for redundancy. And so is Sarah, who's also pregnant. And so is Michelle, who's just got back from maternity leave. And then at the more extreme end, it's just being pushed out or demoted. You know, lots of women say they come back from maternity leave and they want to keep the person that's been doing their maternity cover. And so they just put you in a completely different position that's rubbish and nothing to do with your job. So I'll give you some examples.
Yeah, give us some examples.
I mean, I've heard from at least 100 women who told their boss that they were pregnant and their boss told them to have an abortion.
What?
I heard from a woman who was her and the other women in the office would be made in a morning to sit together, and they would have to do a shot of spirits, shot of vodka every morning to prove that they weren't pregnant and weren't planning on getting pregnant.
Oh my good God.
I heard from a woman who had been working for the same firm for 5 years. She told her boss that she was pregnant. She was bullied and harassed so viciously by her boss and her colleagues. It was so nasty that she went into labor prematurely. And when she was in the neonatal clinic with her baby, who could have died, her boss called her and made her redundant.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
This is more of a subtle example, but I think a really good example of what happens a lot. So there was a woman who had been working for the same employer for 6 years. She was doing really well. Her boss said, you deserve a promotion. You're going to get the job, but you have to go through an interview process, but it's just a formality. You know, don't worry about it. Before the interview, she told her boss that she was pregnant. She didn't get the job. And when she asked her boss why, he said he had discussed things with his wife and they had decided that her priorities would change.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. So they make a decision on what your priorities would be and what your priorities wouldn't be. He'd done that with his wife.
Who was obviously nothing to do with the company, I'm guessing.
And she obviously thought, well, she's going to be a mum, so she doesn't want all that pressure. And so said to him, I don't think you should give her the promotion. And you can sort of see that he meant well. He thought to himself, oh, this will be too much for her to take on right now, so I best not give her that promotion because I don't want to put too much pressure on her. But obviously, it's not his decision.
No.
Oh, gosh.
That's really warped thought process. Yeah. So, I mean, it goes from one extreme to another.
We'll be right back after this short break.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
I've experienced, you know, two coming back from work twice after children. And the first time, we were in contact a lot. And I mean, maybe naively, I thought I'll fill out a flexible working request and I'll sort of say that I want more than I actually want. So I think I said, oh, I want to work 2 days, but actually I think I wanted to work three. But I thought then at least I've got some negotiating and I can meet in the middle. So I said that, and I was basically told, no, this is in a really female industry as well. And if, like, at the time it was of like a company full of women. No, sorry, no, you can't do that. Okay, so then I went back and I revised it, and I think I said I wanted to do 4 days or something, and I wanted to leave at 4:30, but I would get in at 8:30. So it's really not that flexible. And again, I was completely refused. And I was told, that's it. No, you have to work full time. And obviously, I didn't want to do that. So then I had to hand my notice in. So I handed my notice in. And when I handed my notice in, I was then offered another job, which was a demotion. But I could do that one 4 days a week and start at 8:30 and finish at 4:30. And at the time, I don't know why, I fought it as much as I could
this.
Because yeah. there was other girls in my team who were getting married, and, you know, we talk about having families and stuff. And I thought, God, I can't just be the one that just leaves. Like, I can't just be seen to, oh, she came back from work and now she's gone. So I thought, no, okay, I'll take this and I'll do it. But actually, I took a demotion and I shouldn't have done. Like, I really shouldn't. And then the second time after I had Gigi, the company was taken over by a much more male dominated sort of company. And I was about to return from maternity leave, and then I was told I was being made redundant. But there was a lot of other people being made redundant at the time, and I thought, all right, it's kind of natural that does happen when a company buys another company, redundancies are made. But I wonder why I've been made redundant, because they don't even know me. Like, they don't know anything about me. And so we all sort of got together, all of us who were being made redundant, and we were having a chat. And then I realised that I was still on maternity leave, and there were other people in the same roles as me, but across different categories. So I used to look after beauty, but there was someone else who was in fashion, and they weren't being made redundant. And the reason for my redundancy was that my role was being moved to a different location, which was like 100 miles away or something. And I thought, well, I wonder why their roles are being made. I'm staying in London, but mine's not. Then I saw an advert for the person that would be my assistant. So an advert, they were recruiting for someone who would be my assistant based in London. So I flagged it, and in my consultation, I pointed it all out, and I said, I don't think this is right, because this doesn't stand. Why is my role being moved, 100 miles away, but everyone else in my team is still in London? It seems really odd. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, my God.
And so then about a week later, I had a phone call from someone in HR, and they said, oh, sorry, we made an admin error. It's just an admin error. You're not being made redundant. Right.
Oh my God, yes, I remember all of this. Then they backtracked and said it was an admin. Yes.
It was just, it was an admin error. So I thought, no. This was not an admin error. No way. And I actually did contact Pregnant Then Screwed, and I spoke to one of the legal advisors, and she obviously agreed with me and said, definitely not. So I decided I'd raise a grievance for discrimination, wrote it up, and I actually had a union representative as well, and I copied him in on the email, and I had no response, none at all, and I was furloughed, and I had no response for 8 months.
Yeah.
I want to say 8 months. And then the person who was supposed to be my boss phoned me, and he said, what's going on? Like, I've just looked on payroll and you're still on my payroll. I thought you'd left. Right. And I was like, no, I was furloughed. But apparently I was furloughed. By who? I said, well, by HR. And then I forwarded on like the big trail that had happened, and me saying, I've raised a grievance. No one's responded to it. And then it went on and on, and no one really knew what to do. And in the end, they said, oh, no, your role is actually being made redundant, because I wasn't on maternity leave anymore.
Yeah. So you don't have the extra protection.
Yeah. And by then, I couldn't be bothered anymore. But I feel really stupid that I couldn't be bothered anymore. But I just thought, I just want nothing to do with these people. Like, I literally just want nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
And it was just awful. I mean, God, like, I had so... And then they didn't pay me my redundancy properly. And then I was having to chase. I just like hitting brick walls, like, all of the time. And it's just, you hear about this kind of thing happening all the time.
Yeah, and it happened to you directly, Georgia, and you couldn't talk to anyone about it.
And I couldn't talk about it.
But she wasn't talking about it openly, not allowed to, fear of whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And it's only, 18 months later?
Later? Not even that. I think it sort of all settled in June. But it was, my daughter was 2 by then.
I didn't mean to laugh, and I'm sure it was really...
No. I can laugh about it now.
Apart from the fact that how unorganised you have to be to not know who is employed at your company or not. I mean, that is absolutely preposterous. But and everything you've said is so common. It's they retract things they've said when they realise that you know your legal rights, because the majority of women don't. And so the majority of people who are going to push you out think, oh, well, we could just do that. She's not going to cause a fuss. She's just had a baby. She'd be too tired. She can't be bothered to push it with this. So, yeah. In fact, there was a woman who we work with now who worked for a very big, very well-known organization. I obviously can't know them, name them. And when she was on maternity leave, they sent her an email by accident, wasn't meant for her, that said, oh, let's make... I'll give her a fake name. Let's make Sarah redundant. She's on maternity leave. She'll be too tired. She won't cause a fuss.
And they sent it to her.
I love that they sent it to her.
Idiots.
She got the email and emailed them back and said, I don't think this was meant for me. And she ended up having to, she signed a non-disclosure agreement and got a payment. So she can't talk about it publicly, even though she had this unbelievable proof.
Wow. That really annoys me that you can't talk about it publicly, because how can we protect ourselves if no one's allowed to talk? Because surely this is going to keep happening over and over again. Okay, they might have had to pay somebody off, but they just do that again, won't they? Because if their name, if their reputation isn't, I guess, being through the mill, then they're not going to, they don't care. They're not going to care. To them, it's just a payoff. And unless people are allowed to sort of call these companies out, how they can actually, suffer? They're not going to.
Yeah. I mean, this is exactly the problem. And it's something we've been trying to deal with for a long time. What you do about gagging clauses, as we call them. The name in the UK for them is confidentiality clauses. So when you go through a legal process with an employer, before you get to tribunal, the majority of employers will try and settle because they don't want the reputation damage of going to a tribunal and losing. And if they go through that, then it all gets published on a website so you can see what the company has done to somebody. So they'll offer a lump sum of money and say, we'll give you a great reference. But in return, you have to sign this agreement, and it means you cannot speak to anybody except your lawyer, your spouse, or your therapist. And that's it. Right. So, of course, the majority of women will sign it because, firstly, they're probably going to get more money from a settlement agreement than they would if they go to tribunal. Who wants the stress and hell of going through a tribunal? They're horrendous, horrific things. And they take, it takes about, can take up to 3 years now to get to the tribunal from the point that discrimination occurs. So you obviously, you're just going to go, okay, I just want this over. Just give me the money and I can get on with my life. But it means that then we have this complete cloak over what is really happening behind the closed doors of organizations. And I cannot name them here, but I know of organizations who, behind closed doors, as soon as a woman gets pregnant, they kick her out. And on, when she's on the way out of the door, feeling vulnerable and confused and terrified about her future, they say, oh, I tell you what, I'll give you $5,000. Just, and a good reference, just sign here. And she does it. And so it's happening time and time and time again. And these are companies that win awards for gender equality in the workplace. Companies you'd be so shocked if I told you who they were. And there's just nothing we can do about it because they're just gagging us. And they're using these weapons to silence women. And at the moment, we're hamstrung. It's terrifying.
There's a lot that I want to say but can't say, and I know that you work very closely alongside Anna Whitehouse, Mother Pucker, and there was a big sigh of relief when she walked into the door at Global, because we felt like, you know, I feel very lucky because I've had a really great experience there. And I think actually, you know, when they found out, when I told them I was pregnant, there was a lot of support, and that was really great. And people come in and do your role, and then there's always a job for you at the end of it. But, you know, Anna is, I know you've seen publicly now, because Anna is doing somebody's maternity cover, and she's now on Drive Time with Ed. But every time she writes a post about it, she writes at the end of it, I'm just keeping Gemma's seat warm. I can't wait for Gemma to get back. And that is something that I'm so proud to see. And so it makes me so happy. Like, it really makes me happy, because we've all been in that situation when we've gone off and had a baby and we thought, Jesus Christ, is our role even going to be there for us when we come back? You know, especially in an industry like mine where it's so front facing, if you're not there, who are you? Like they forget about you. So it's really, really amazing, but the fear doesn't go away. And I think you're right. I think it's really important for us to have those people like you and like Mother Pucker, who's obviously all about the flex appeal, and it's kind of hammering that door down and saying, well, listen, don't forget about us, because when we have our babies, we only come back with more skills. You know, we know having a pregnant woman in, or sorry, a woman, who, a mother in your team is only a good thing. I mean, Georgia and I, we've spoken about this the last couple of weeks. It seems to keep coming up. We've just employed somebody, Katie Kirkpatrick, shout out to Katie. We employed her when she was 36 weeks pregnant with her third because, and she's now gone off and had her baby and she starts back again tomorrow because she wants to, not because we've said, come back.
Yeah, you go come back, yeah.
The ultimate juggler, like the ultimate timekeeper. She's just, she was the best candidate.
Yeah. And that's it. Why would you not choose the best candidate?
Yeah.
And I think that's what employers forget. You know, they, yes, you women perhaps are going to go on maternity leave. And I will add that the reason why women go on maternity leave and men don't go on paternity leave is because the system doesn't work to allow that. It's not that men don't want to spend time with their children. They do. But shared parental leave is a nonsense. It doesn't work. And so the thing that works is women taking time out to care for their children. And if the government changed the legislation so paternity leave worked, then we'd see more men take time out in their droves to care for their children.
Yes.
But yes, they're going to go off and they're going to have a baby and they'll spend, you know, 6 months to a year. But there's skills that you learn when you're on maternity leave.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's well documented that you learn so much from that process. And it's like an elite training course for management. You know, you can multitask like a ninja. You learn about patience. You learn about investing in others. Yeah. And I mean, it's like being at war at points, isn't it? You've got like, you know, you're exhausted, you're not sleeping all the time, you've got a baby screaming in your ear all day, and you survive all of that and come back to work, and work is a blowing breeze once you get back from
I know that's what I was gonna say. I felt so much happier to be at work after I had kids than before. I was so much more grateful to be there and loving every small thing. But in your opinion, why do you think sort of the shared parental leave doesn't work? What needs to be improved?
It doesn't work because it's not shared parental leave, it's shared maternity leave. So it relies on a woman giving up a portion of her maternity leave. But it also doesn't work financially for the majority of families. So we know that in most couples, because of the gender pay gap, if you're in a heterosexual relationship, the man tends to earn more than the woman. And so why would you, when you're going to go through a financially difficult patch, why would you sacrifice his wage and not your wage? Mm. We know from other countries that the only thing that works with paternity leave is if you ring fence it. So you say, this is a portion of leave that is for you. And if you don't use it, the whole family lose it. And you've got to pay it properly. So about 80% of salary is about right. And they've been doing this in Sweden since the 1970s.
Wow.
And they've increased it and increased it and increased it because they've seen how effective it is. And you've got about 80% of dads take long periods of time out of work to care for their children. There's a little story I wrote about in the book where there's an American comes over to Sweden. They're thinking of moving there. They're going for an interview and they're wandering around Sweden and they say to their potential employer, hey, like, what's with all the dad nannies around here? And the Swedish guy says, the dad nannies, and looks around and he's like, these are dads. This is what dads do in Sweden. They spend time with their children. They're not nannies. They're like actual dads spending time with their kids. And it's so alien to us is that we don't see fathers as carers of their children the same way we see mothers as carers of their children, because the whole system just doesn't work for dads.
Yeah, and you know what, it's the same. So I was going to say it's the same, you know, if there is a breakdown of a relationship or breakdown of marriage in Sweden, you start from 50-50. That's the point. It starts with access to the children. It's like, that's just where it starts from. You know, there is an equal 50-50 here, 50-50 there. The mother and the father split it if they want to. In the UK, if a breakdown for whatever, if there's no kind of misconduct there, it's like, oh, well, you know, you can have every other weekend and you can have a Wednesday tea time. It's like, no, 4 days a month to see my child is not enough. And I know, I've seen it firsthand what it does to a father. It destroys them when they are not allowed access to their children. The whole system is fundamentally flawed here for me.
Yeah, I feel
it. It's no good for anybody. I mean, we know from research that if dads take time out in those early days to care for their children, the children are happier, they do better in the education system, and mothers do better in their careers. For every month that dads take a paternity leave, mothers see a 7% pay rise. 7% for every month. And couples are more likely to stay together. There was a study done at a university which found that couples are 40% more likely to stay together if dads take out at least a week in those early days.
And just a week?
Yeah.
40%
just a week. And spending time on their own with their children.
Yes.
On their own, so that they learn, because it's not just about spending time with your children, it's also about domestic labour, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is.
Having a fully equal relationship. And there are very few couples that have a fully equal relationship where you're truly sharing the care, you're truly sharing the cooking, the cleaning, the domestic labour, the mental load, and then bringing money into the house.
You know what as well, I've just sort of thought about this, when you said just a week, like if fathers just took a week off by themselves, it does set the precedent, doesn't it? Because if a mum has been on maternity leave for 9 months and she has learned, she's learned everything, how to look after the kids, and then naturally she then takes on organising the childcare, and then it goes on for infinity, right?
Because never ending.
Because that started, it set the precedent, hasn't it? Because she was there at the time. She was the one who was going back to work. Her life was the one that was changing again. So she's decided to organise the childcare. And then that then goes on, because then it means that she ends up organising the clubs and doing the school admin and, just forever and ever and ever. But actually, if the start was like a bit, better distributed,
a
bit more balanced, it would set the precedent for the rest of that child's life.
That's exactly it. And this is why we fight so hard for ring-fenced, properly paid paternity leave. It would change the game completely if dads learnt how to look after their kids, because none of us know what we're doing. A baby arrives and we're like, what the fuck is this? Like, how do I look after it? And you learn on the job. You literally learn on the job. And dads don't get the chance to do that.
Yeah, it's not their fault. That's the thing. It's not, like you say, it's the system. Yeah.
And so if they had that chance, they would then be doing more of it. And the child would come to them as much as it comes to the mum. But also then you get to the point of childcare. And childcare, we have the second most expensive childcare system.
Oh my God.
It's ridiculous.
We are going through it big time with this 33 hours malarkey. We've applied for it. We've obviously applied for it, 1 week out of the jurisdiction, because we moved areas and because we didn't know Kit was going to be going to a preschool. They've given us a code. The code doesn't start till January, and they've just slapped a bill for £1,500 on us. And it's like, this is a computer says no situation. This is a code that, and they make it so difficult. And then we're having to fight it again now. And I'm just like, it's exhausting to have to keep coming. And what do you do? Do you take time off work, look after Kit myself, but then we don't earn money through the podcast. We don't get to do what we love. It makes it so hard. It's like, it's virtually impossible to get it right. And that's why generally women think, well, do you know what? I'll let my partner go to work and I'll stay at home and do the childcare because it's cheaper. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then women, women and dads, whoever it is who takes that on, are more stressed. So then when they're at work, they find the whole thing probably a bit more stressful. So it's just kind of just setting everyone up to fail, isn't it? What can we do?
Yes, that's what I was going to ask. What can we do?
Okay, so how do we fix the system is a really big and interesting question. And it's not, for me, this isn't about little tweaks, which is what the government are talking about now. They're talking about little tweaks to flexible working that won't make a difference in the reality. They're talking about little tweaks to the law will make no difference. You need to flip the table. You need to completely change the system to fix this. It's systemic, all about the fact that the system does not work for mothers. So it's got to be about affordable, good quality childcare. It's got to be about ring-fenced, properly paid paternity leave. It's got to be about getting rid of presenteeism in the workplace, because presenteeism is a killer of women's careers, and ensuring that all jobs are flexible. It's got to be about dealing with non-disclosure agreements so we can uncover the situation and show what is happening behind the closed doors of companies. And so we don't expect this to be solved overnight. You know, it's not going to happen quickly. It's going to take a long, long time. And so the way that we do that is we've got to raise awareness of the issue and show that this is good for the economy. This isn't just about mums going, do something that's good for me. This makes sense for everybody. And all of the research shows that it would benefit the economy dramatically if we made the system work for mothers. So we are campaigning on those issues, and we want everybody to support those campaigns as much as possible. So there's actions that we ask people to do regularly, which include emailing MPs or filling in petitions or tweeting things, just to keep that constant pressure up. We ask people to fill in surveys as well, because data is really useful to raise awareness of an issue and get MPs to talk about it in public. But what people can do day to day is firstly talk about this issue with as many people as possible, because you'd be really surprised by how many people think pregnancy and maternity discrimination doesn't happen, or people that think, well, why should my taxes pay for your lifestyle, as they like to call it, you know, when you're talking about childcare. Or flexible working just doesn't work in reality in companies. There are all these ridiculous things that people believe. And so we have to be having these conversations with the people that we love and the people that we know, so that we get everybody on side. And if you work for a company, I would suggest setting up a women's group. Get women together, because you can lobby your employer, but you are much stronger as a group.
As a group, yeah.
So set up these groups. And flush out what the problems are for women, and then go and have these conversations with your employer and start to change your company.
Also, I think it's really important for companies that are doing a good job and are looking after their mothers, and, you know, for them to speak out as well, to kind of almost educate the ones that are getting it fundamentally wrong, because there are certain companies out there that I know are doing a brilliant job and really supporting it. So it's like, they need to be the leaders in this. They need to be like, right, this is how you do it. This is how we're doing it. Let's get behind them, because
celebrating the success story.
It just shows the way, doesn't it?
And also, companies need, I mean, we've got a massive skills shortage in the UK. It's enormous. Desperate to recruit people, and so, you know, you need to have good flexible working policies in place. Think about childcare. You know, you've got 870,000 stay-at-home mums who want to work but can't because of the cost of childcare. That is a massive untapped group of skilled women that if you thought about their problems and found a solution to them, you would attract all of these brilliant women into your organization. It really isn't rocket science. Like, it really actually is really bloody simple. Listen to women and you will find the solutions to your problems.
Yes.
Love it.
Listen to women.
Yes.
I feel so empowered. Thank you so, so much for coming on. If anybody listening, if this is resonating with any of you, please, please get in touch. Pregnant Then Screwed on Instagram.
And we put it in the show notes. So if you want to check it out, then that will be listed.
Please do.
There.
You've been amazing.
Thank you so much
for coming on.
Thank you.
When you work for a big corporation, you almost feel protected because there's so many like rules and procedures that are supposed to be followed. But I hope that our kids don't face these problems.
Well, if they do, they could just revert back to this amazing podcast and get in touch with Pregnant Then Screwed.
They can. Just don't listen to any of the others where we slag them off, please.
Yeah, this is the
you
only
listen to
one.
This one.
Yeah,
yeah, and this one only.
It. Exactly. Yeah. Well, listen, we are so excited to come back to you on Friday with another amazing Q&A. And as always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe and give the podcast a little follow. That would be incredible. And then you'll never miss a podcast again.
Yeah. And as we said, our DMs are always open. You can drop us a message on @MadeByMamas and we'll be back on Friday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production. And today's episode was produced by the wonderful Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.